We have our 31 days of prayer at our church in Fremont. Every year, we start off the year with 31 days of prayer. And my heart for these 31 days was that the Lord would use me to speak. And, you know, because I've always been kind of nervous in speaking. I get anxiety. I get fearful. And, you know, I've been doing this for like 6-7 years. And still, there's anxiety that builds up. But you know what? I prayed that. They prayed over me. And then next thing you know, I get the opportunity. And I'm like, okay, Lord, is this you speaking to me? So open your Bibles to Matthew 21, verse 12. Matthew 21, 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do thank you that, Lord, we have the opportunity to gather, to hear your word. Lord, to hear from you this morning. Lord, we know that your word speaks volumes. It teaches us, Lord, your ways, your love for us. And Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would teach this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can praise you, we can worship you. Lord, we can bless your holy name. And Father, I ask that your Spirit would bless the reading and the teaching of your word this morning. And in Christ's name, amen. I've read this story before, and I've always wondered why Jesus was so angry. You know, you see Jesus and you read the scriptures, and you're wondering why. Why, you know, you think of Jesus in the sense of not getting angry, not having any emotions. You know, we're having an Easter play at our church, and it's for the resurrection, and I get to play Jesus. And so I'm trying to, you know, memorize the lines. I'm trying to memorize everything, but I have to get the emotion of Jesus as well. And so, you know, we think of Jesus as emotionless. You know, he's talking, he's sharing, "Come here, children, I have everlasting life." And it's like we think of him as this monotone Jesus, never showing any emotion, ups or downs. But you know what? Jesus had emotion. And one of the emotions that he shows here was an emotion of anger. And so Jesus, he was angry. And I thought, why is he so angry at these people? Why is he overturning tables and kicking out seats? And I realized that Jesus had a reason for it. And I want to help you understand that reason. I teach at the Union Hall, and I teach a foreman training class. I'm a sheet metal worker by trade, and so I teach a union training class, teach apprentices how to be foreman. And one of the lessons there was the character qualities of a foreman. And so I asked the students, you know, there's about 30 students, I said, "So what are the character qualities of a foreman?" And so I said, "I'm going to write these things on the board." And they said, "Well, a foreman needs to be cool." I'm all, "Oh, okay. He needs to be friendly." "All right. He needs to take breaks with us." You know? I'm thinking, huh, these guys aren't getting it, you know? And he says, they need to let us, like, off early, like on Fridays. If you work hard, they need to let us go a little early, you know, sometimes. That's what a good foreman is. And I'm shaking my head thinking, boy, these guys aren't getting it, you know? And so I said, okay, imagine this. Imagine that you're taking off for 3 months. You're a wealthy man. You're taking off for 3 months. And you're going to put a guy in charge of your home to watch over the affairs of your house. And this guy is watching over your wife and your two children. And he's there to protect them and provide for their needs, as well as watch over the affairs of your home. I said, tell me the kind of guy that you want to be in charge. Faithfulness, you know, loyalty, trustworthy. You know, they started coming up with all these great characteristics of a man they want in charge of their children and their wife. I said, okay, you guys are getting it now. You do realize that this company is the owner's company. And he desires those qualities in a foreman because this provides the safety and security for his wife and his children. I said, so you can understand why he would be so angry if he came back 3 months later and found out that you ripped him off and you took advantage of his wife and his children. He would be angry. And that's exactly what's going on here in the scriptures. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And so Jesus was saying, listen, you are misusing the temple for your own purpose and your own profit. And he was angry with the people of those days, at the chief priests and the scribes. And so you see in verse 12, it says, he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers. You see, this was a week before the Passover was about to happen. And everybody had to come into Jerusalem for the Passover. And so those who are outside of the city, those who were from Rome, those who were from the outward cities, they had to come in, and they had the currency of wherever they lived. And to have an offering to God, they had to change or exchange the money for shekels. And so as they were exchanging them, they were getting taken advantage of. They were giving them a horrible exchange rate. And as well, it says that the seats of those who sold doves. Now, a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, back in that day, a dove was only sold to the poor people. So they were taking advantage of the poor at this time. And the chief priests and the scribes were allowing all this to happen. And Jesus was angry at that. And so he turned over. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And so a den of thieves is what? You know, a den is like a cave of which, you know, if you're in the mountains and you find a cave, you're looking for shelter and you're looking for refuge and you're looking for rest. And these people are coming into the temple of God looking for shelter, looking for refuge, and looking for rest, and they're getting taken advantage of and they're getting ripped off. But Jesus says, that's not going to happen anymore. So, in the temple, I'm sorry, should I move this down a little bit? In the temple, do you mind giving me a drink of water? Sure, please, somebody. Thank you. Oh, yeah. I forgot my water. So in the temple, the purpose of the temple was to be a place of prayer, a place of prayer. And that's what Jesus was expecting to find when he came into the house of God, the temple of God. He was expecting it to be a place of prayer. And prayer accomplishes many things. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. This is a wonderful picture of what prayer accomplishes. Isaiah 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You see, Isaiah had a vision of God. And that vision came in a desperate time in the nation of Israel's life. The king King Uzziah, he was a good king of Judah, and he had passed away. And they were worried what was going to happen to them. They were worried that the nation would go downhill from that point on, because King Uzziah made the people feel safe and secure. And when he died, they were like, what are we going to do now? And you know what? The Lord revealed himself to Isaiah in this point. And, you know, my dad passed away 3.5 years ago. And my mom, I remember telling me, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do. And I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I said, Mom, you know what? I said, the Lord is the one who's taken care of you all this time. I said, he's always provided for you. And he's going to provide in this instance as well. I said, you don't have to worry, Mom. I said, he's sitting on the throne, and he's watching over the affairs of your life. And she took that to heart. And, you know, she says, I only have so much money in my retirement. I said, Mom, don't worry about it. God knows your needs. And my mom, she calls me up and she tells me, she says, I can't believe what's going on. I take money out of my retirement every year, and every year my retirement keeps going up rather than down. And so she actually has more money than when she started 3.5 years ago. I said, Mom, the Lord is going to take care of you. He always does. And here, you know, this vision of God, here Isaiah is in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, that's what prayer is all about. It's about communion with God. And Isaiah is in the presence of God, and you know what he sees? He sees the Lord sitting on the throne. Sitting on the throne. And that should bring you great comfort to know that God is in charge. That's what the throne means, that God is in charge. He's the one in authority over the affairs of the world. He's the one, not King Uzziah, Isaiah, he's the one that hasn't made you safe and secure. It's been me this whole time. And that's the message that God is trying to get across to Isaiah, is that I'm the one who's in charge. I'm the one who has kept you safe and kept you secure. I'm the one who has blessed you and has poured out his Spirit upon you. I'm the one who has done that. And so in our communion time, in prayer time, in your time of fellowship with God, he's going to reveal himself to you. And that's one of the purposes of prayer, is that you will understand who God is. God is a faithful God. God is a loving God. God is for you, not against you. And we don't realize that until we actually spend time with God. And so Isaiah here is, when he's in communion with God, he actually gets a revelation of who God is. But he also gets a revelation of who he is. Because in verse 5, he sees the holiness of God. Well, I'm sorry, in verse 3 it says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And it says, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the smoke filled, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me. Woe is me. And he realized that he had sin in his life. And that's what prayer accomplishes. That's what communion accomplishes, is it accomplishes a revelation of God and a revelation of who you are. Because he says, woe is me, for I am undone. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that this came into his life and revealed that there was an area of darkness in his life. And he says, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And so he knew that he was wrong. He was wrong in his dealings with God. And he realized that because he was in the presence of a holy God. And he realized his unholiness. And so as he confesses his sin, when you're in communion, it'll lead you to confession, but it'll also lead you into cleansing. And so we read on in Isaiah, it says, then one of the seraphim, in verse 6, flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he had touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And so there's a cleansing of God that God desires to do in your life and in my life. You see, God, when you spend time with him, he wants to cleanse you of that which is hindering your life. That is what's from hindering you from moving forward. You know, there's a lot of cleansing, and the Lord, he cleansed in my life my mouth of my filthy talk, of my cursing, of all the other things that I used to gossip with. I used to talk about people, and you know what? Gossip, what happens with gossip, it tears down. It tears down, it divides, it breaks people down, and it brings forth death rather than life. But God says, listen, what your mouth was using for evil, I want to use it for good now. And so the Lord commissioned Isaiah in that point, and he said, listen, you know, who shall I send and who will go for us? And what does Isaiah say? You know, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. And so the area of which the Lord cleanses in your life, that's the area that he's going to use for ministry. You see, he wants to use you for ministry. He wants to bless you, and he wants to bless others through you. And so the area of your life that he's going to cleanse, that's the area he wants to use for you to minister. And so we see that one of the purposes of the temple was to be a place of prayer, a place of prayer. You know, we have, as I said before, 31 days of prayer. And in our 31 days, we request the congregation to submit their prayer requests. And right now, we have probably about 150 prayer requests. There's quite a bit. And the list just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And what we find out as we're praying through all these lists is that people are broken. People are really broken. They're hurting. They're sick. They got past and deep wounds that are going on in the lives of people. I mean, it's really bad. And you know what? When we take these things to prayer, we actually realize that, man, you start getting a heart for these people, the people of your congregation. But we would never know that about the congregation unless we didn't get those requests. And so, we find out that people are really broken, and the Lord wants to bring healing. And so the second purpose of the temple was to be a place of healing. Why don't you turn back to Matthew once again? Matthew 21. He says, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And then he goes on in verse 14 and said that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You see, the temple was to be a place where people were healed, where people were brought wholeness, just as this church is right here, right? This is a place where people can meet with God. This is a place where people can hear from God. That's why you come in here, to hear from God. That's why people come into a church. They want to know what God is doing. They want to know what God is saying. They want to know that they have hope. And they also want to come in because they're broken. I came to the Lord in a state of brokenness. And most people do come to the Lord in a state of brokenness because they have nowhere else to go. And they want healing from their past hurts, whether it's a bad relationship, whether it's somebody who passed away in your life. People are really broken, and God wants to heal. Jesus wants to heal. And so as you see, Jesus was in the temple. Jesus was healing the people. The people would come to him. He would open the eyes of the blind. You see, Jesus wants to give sight to people who are in darkness. He wants to give sight to those who can't see and don't understand their way. He also wants to heal the lame, those who can't walk. When I came in, I didn't know how to walk with God. I didn't know the first thing about walking with God. I was raised a Catholic all my life, and I knew nothing about God. All I knew was about religion. And the Christian life is not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he wants to heal you of your deep wounds. You see, because when you're healed, then he can use you. I have a men's group that I meet with on Tuesday evenings. And I said, why is it that you think people do not serve in the church? He says, well, and all the guys answered, you know, I think people are hurting. And I think people have a lot of baggage. And I think people are just not whole. And it's true. People are not whole. And that's why they come in. When they come in, we want to heal them through the power of Jesus. We want them to become whole again. Somewhere along the line, when they got hurt, they altered the way they did things. And there's attitudes and there's actions in your life that you do that are just the outward manifestation of a past healing, of a past hurt in your life. Whether it's insecurity, you've been, you know, hurt by relationships over the last 15 years of your life, and so you don't trust anybody. God says, hey, listen, I want to heal that area in your life so that you can be secure, that you can know who you are. And so the Lord wants to heal that area of your life. You see, you were planted here for that very purpose, so that Jesus can heal people in this place. There's also another reason for the purpose of the temple. And in Luke 19, it gives this same account about Jesus coming into the temple, but it says daily that Jesus taught in the temple. He taught in the temple. And that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. He wants to teach people about the love of God. You see, I've always thought, raised, you know, as a Catholic, I've always thought that God was angry with me. That God wanted to punish me, you know. Maybe that was my upbringing. I don't know. You know, I don't know where I got that thought, but I always thought God was angry with me. I never thought that God was for me. But you know what? God is for you. And that's where we learn about. That's why, you know, you have somebody here every week in and week out teaching the Word of God, telling you about the love of God, telling you how much God is faithful, that God is your provider, that God is your strength, your source of strength, your source of everything that you have is His. And He's going to provide it for you. And you don't have to worry. I mean, I lost my job 5 months ago. And I was, you know, had a secure job. I was making great money. And I lost my job. And you know what? I was like, oh, God, I know you got this. There's a reason. I was actually fired for a wrongful thing that they asked me to do, which was illegal. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And I was with this company for a long time. And I said, that's breaking the law and I'm not going to do it. I said, whatever is going on, I said, you know what? I know the Lord Jesus is with me and he's going to prosper me while I'm in this company. And you have to know that whatever, you know, we as a company faltered in, I said, I believe the Lord will make up for it. He said, I don't believe in the Lord. I don't believe in God. He said, let's just be honest here. I said, I am being honest here. I said, I'm telling you that we can get past this huge mistake that is made. And we'll get through it the right way. I said, and God will bless it. I guarantee it. Because He's everywhere I've gone, He's blessed the work of my hands. And I'm telling you, He's going to bless His company. As He has already the last 2 years I've been there. He says, no, I don't believe that. I said, well, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. And the next day, He laid me off. As a result of me not doing what He asked me to do. And you know what? I was like, it's okay. The Lord's got my back. So I looked for a job for a month. I couldn't find anything. And, you know, me with my credentials, I thought, I can find a job easy, but I couldn't. I couldn't find a job. And you know what? I started worrying. I started having anxiety. And then I finally got a job working hard, lost 35 pounds as a result of it. You know, the Lord, he put me back right at square one and made me work hard again. I'd been praying that I wanted to lose weight. And I think this is the way God said, okay, so be careful what you pray for. But it was kind of funny. It was for the last 6 months, I've made 40% less of my income. And you know what? The Lord still provided. He still provided. I didn't lose my home. I was getting pretty close to that point. And I said, God, you told me that you wanted me to raise my children here in this house until they moved out. I said, I still got two kids here. My daughter's already moved out, but I still got two kids here, and I thought this was what you desired. So if you want me to stay here, you've got to change something. Well, about a week later, got laid off from that company and got another company where they loved me, they promoted me, and I'm almost making the same amount as I was back then. And so that's how God works. It's like, you know, you can't understand the love of God and the provision of God. He's going to provide for you no matter what. And that's where you learn this, is here in the temple, here in this church. Jesus taught how to love God through obedience. He also taught how to love his neighbor, how to love your neighbor. And so one of the purposes of the temple were not only to be a house of prayer, but to be a source of healing. It's supposed to be a source of teaching. And lastly, it's to be a source of worship. Of worship. Worship basically is giving unto God what is due to him. That's what worship is. Did you know that when we give thanks to God, that's our worship? I mean, it's not just a matter of singing here, which is wonderful worship, thank you. But that's worship, is thanking God for what he's done. Thanking God for what he has given you. That's what worship is. But did you know that giving, tithing, is an extension of your worship? Because everything that you've gotten, God has given it to you. So you just give back a portion to what he's given you, of what he's asked. You know, the fruit of your lips is worship. The fruit of your labors, that's worship, as well as the extension of your worship. Service is worship also. These brothers here, you know, and sisters who serve, that's an extension of worship. You're giving of your time. You're giving of your talent. You're giving of your treasure. That's what worship is giving unto God what is due to him. Turn with me into 1 Corinthians verse 6. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I'm going to read that for you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. He says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is given, who lives in you and has given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not only is this place a temple, or this place, this church, a place where prayer is, a place, a source of healing, a source of teaching, and a source of worship here, but you are that temple. You are that temple, and that's a spiritual aspect of this passage, is that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what God desires to do, what Jesus desires to do, is come into your life and cleanse those areas in your life that are not of him. The more you spend time in the Lord, the more you'll realize that there are dark areas in your life. I had talked to one guy one time, and I was telling him about the Lord, and he needs to repent of his sins. He was a friend of mine. He said, I don't sin. I shook my head saying, what? What do you mean you don't sin? I said, everybody sin. I don't remember the last time I sinned. And sometimes we think that. You know, we come into the presence of God and we, you know, lay out our laundry list and we forget to get that cleansing of the Lord. And you, as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you're to be a source where people meet God. See, people come in here to meet God, but God says, I want you to go out there. I want you to take me to them. And there's places in your workplace that I can't be. Pastor Chuck can't be. There's places in your neighborhood that nobody else can be except you and you. And he wants you to bring Jesus to them. I mean, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and we coached football together. And I asked him, I said, hey, you want to come to church? And, we have a play going on, and we did this Lifehouse skit at our church. Very impactful, very powerful skit. And we did it at our church, and I invited him, and he came and once, and then he came twice. And then we started our 31 days of prayer, and he came the first day with his whole family. I was like, wow. And he came the second day and the third day, and then he took me aside, and he's all, hey, Rob, he's all, how do you become a member here? I'm all, well, we really don't have memberships. I said, if you come, you're a part of the church. He's all, is there something I have to do? I'm all, well, yeah, there's something you have to do. And I said, well, you know what? You need to be born again. And I took him to John chapter 3, and I explained to him what it means to be born again. And I shared the gospel with him. I shared about the Roman road, about, you know, all have sinned, and then that eternal life is a free gift. And I said, is that something that you want to do? He's all, tomorrow. I want to do it tomorrow. I said, oh, okay. And so I believed him. You know, he went home with his family. I'm assuming he went to talk to his family. He went home. He came back the next night for prayer, and he says, hey, you know, I wasn't seeking him. I let him seek me, and he came up, and he says, hey, that thing we talked about yesterday, can we do that today? I'm all, yeah, we can do that. I'm like excited. I'm like, wow, I can't believe this. And so I took him into one of the rooms, and I just shared everything with him. I said, this is what's going to happen. I said, you're going to experience temptation. You're going to experience trials in your life. I said, the devil is going to be angry that you're giving your life to Jesus Christ now. I said, he didn't bother you before because he didn't care about you. I said, but now he's going to care about you. Trust me. And he says, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to make sure he counted the cost. And he prayed, and he just told me the other day, he says, Robert, he says, you don't understand. The eyes of understanding in my heart have been opened. He says, he saw the first time I heard the preaching, he says, my eyes, he saw now the floodgates are open. He says, I just want to take in more. I want to take in more. And he keeps coming. And he keeps coming back, and his whole family keep coming back. And I'm like, wow, this is what it's all about. And you know what? He would have never experienced the love of God had I not coached with him, had one of the other elders coached, and my son and my son-in-law. We all coached on the same team. I brought my whole family with me. And we just showed the kids the love of God. And numerous kids, you know, from the church kept coming. And that's what it's all about, is you are now a mobile temple of God. You are a mobile temple of God where, you know, we couldn't talk very much. You can only talk to people far away from the house phone. Well, remember the age of cell phones when they came in? Now you can talk to everybody anywhere. And basically, you're like a mobile temple. You can take God to people. You could be that source where people meet God. You can be that source of healing for people. People are hurting out there in your workplace, and they're talking to you. The one thing you can do is say, you know what, can I pray for you? And you can pray for them right there and then. They don't have to come into the church. You can go to them. You can be a source of teaching by your life and how you example your life and how you love on them. You could be a source of teaching them all about God, all about the love of God. And that's God's desire. That's his desire for you, and that's his desire for me, and it's God's desire for this church, is to be mobile temples where we are taking God out to our place, wherever we're at, our place, our workplace, our homes, our gym, you know, our activities, our sports, wherever it is. God wants you to go out there and meet people for him. Amen? Let's pray.